Hello and welcome to my super official gold standard high quality review of the amazing Game of Thrones season 8 trailer that HBO dropped on us like a giant ice wall crumbling under dragonfire. As many of you have probably seen already, many great minds and voices in the community have done their own image by image analysis of the trailer, including myself. The podcast I co-host Maester Monthly recorded ours as well. That is up now. So for this channel, instead of going on an image by image analysis, I'm going to talk about some of the ideas and images I personally found most intriguing and take you all down with me into the crypts of tinfoil. The first parts of the trailer that caught my eye was the voiceovers and scenes of Bran and Arya in particular. It's clear so far from the footage release that there will be some kind of a massive battle at Winterfell, and that it kinda won't be going super well for the defenders. Also, just based on the necromancy powers of the White Walkers and the strength of their undead army, defeating them in any way head-on seems like a fool's errand. If there's any hope for humanity surviving this final season, then the only path forwards towards victory is likely some sort of trickery or strategy that the White Walkers don't expect. Think back to the Battle of Whispering Wood, when Robb Stark left behind a token force to draw in Tywin Lannister's army, and then ran to River Run, where the northern forces overran Jaime Lannister's surprise troops, and he took the Kingslayer hostage. Or Jon Snow, when his surprise Valyrian steel sword allowed him to kill a surprised White Walker in Hardhelm. Surprise and strategy will be how humanity finds a way, if they can. With that in mind, let's look at Bran and Arya in this trailer. Arya's voiceover strung together has her saying, "I know death. He's got many faces. I look forward to seeing this one." She's also seen wielding a dragon glass dagger here in this last shot, and when she's running through the passages of what appears to be Winterfell. A conclusion you can draw here is that she has added a new name to her list, the Night King. Just on a narrative level, Arya has been training for seasons now as a master assassin with appearance-changing abilities. It would be a pointless venture to have her go all the way through ninja school and then never use what she's learned. So we should expect during this upcoming season for those skills to have some application. In addition, having Dragonglass and her fancy new Valyrian steel dagger, plus her impressive fighting skills, we should expect Arya to be used like her own sword Needle in the upcoming season as the battle rages around her. But who will wield her? For that, I turn to her older brother Bran. As the new three-eyed crow, Bran sees the world much differently and understands the long view better than any character. He has total knowledge of the past, has some visions of the future. It allows him to understand and strategize in a way no other character can, not even Varys or Littlefinger. And speaking of Littlefinger, in last season, it was his accepting of Littlefinger's dagger and then gifting it to Arya that set in motion Sansa and Arya finally working together and ganging up on Littlefinger with that very blade. You can almost see the apprehension on Bran's face. Maybe a tremor in his hand as he gives Arya the infamous dagger, like he realizes what he is setting in motion. His voiceover lines in this trailer as well point that way, that he does understand his place in all of this and the flow of destiny. He says, "Everything you did brought you to where you are now, where you belong, home." I believe that Bran is speaking to Arya here, forgiving her for her past and informing her of what he needs her to do. Bran is the only character after the death of Bloodraven who knows the secrets of the creation of the White Walkers and potentially their weaknesses. What they really are, who they are, where you can best strike them. How would you best use that information though? Perhaps arming your assassin trained sister with a dagger that can slay White Walkers at a touch? And the knowledge of where to strike is a fairly good use. Again, calling back to Whispering Wood, Bran's strategy may be using Winterfell and its armies as a diversion for the White Walkers to create the only possible opportunity to strike exactly where the blow must fall. After all warfare is based on deception, and between Bran and Arya, There's quite a lot of deception and strategy to be played out while the warriors fight all around them. The second topic I'm most interested in actually comes from a Twitter thread I posted yesterday, and that is the scenes of Rhaegal and Drogon flying, which are very puzzling to me. A close look at the rocks and the canyons and just the terrain where they're flying, it appears that they're flying far north of the wall. And why that's confusing is you would assume with the White Walkers bearing down on the north and the rest of humanity that Dany would keep her dragons very close at hand. They're the ultimate defense, even though the Night King has his own dragon. You know, two is better than one. But it looks like they're just flying off randomly. And it gets even more confusing where, during these shots, it may be that Dany and Jon are actually on their back and have been CGI'd out of the trailer, like HBO has done before. What are these dragons and potentially their riders doing and looking for so far north with the Army of the Dead bearing down on them? Again, looking at Bran, there may be a strategy at play for these seemingly random flights to the far north. In the books, there's an idea of this quote-unquote Heart of Winter that Bran sees during his initial visions. It may have been adapted in some way into the frozen hellscape that we first saw the Night King in when he converted Craster's son. Some sort of hidden place, a place of power that contains the source of the White Walkers. It may even be that same piece of dragonglass that was shoved into the Night King's chest, like I speculated in my Whisper Jewels video. Could be some sort of soul jar or phylactery that contains and enhances their power and enables their necromantic abilities. So if these places exist and they are a source of power for the White Walkers, perhaps the dragons and Dany and Jon are going to try and find these things and destroy them in an attempt to end the White Walkers or weaken them in some way. Another potential target north of the wall is the weirwood that the Night King was created against. We have seen this weirwood long after the initial creation of the Night King, when Bran was looking through his visions and found the White Walkers and all their armies formed up and staring at this frozen tree, seemingly motionless. This sort of indicates that maybe this is a holy place for them, or that there is some kind of connection between the Night King and his forces and the Weirwoods themselves. Maybe these frozen, icy demons and the old gods of the woods are still connected in some way, and that is feeding their ability to raise their armies, which is something that has been suggested many times in the books. So perhaps if you ride Drogon right up to that tree and burn it, the White Walkers might lose some of their power. Burn down the tree they were born from, they lose some of their strength and abilities. Because remember, they are not going to be beaten in a fair fight. You have to make the fight unfair for them. And this would be a very good way. However, in a non-strategic way, I have sort of a very different idea for what the dragons seem to be doing. Drogon had always been the loner of the three dragon whelps, much larger and more willful, and he even refused to be chained with them underneath the Great Pyramid of Meereen. Yet, after the death of Viserion, Drogon seems to have latched onto Rhaegal much more than before. Rhaegal, during this time, has finally grown to nearly match Drogon's size, and in this trailer in particular, the two are seen in very close proximity often, seemingly a reversal of Drogon's previous behavior. In this shot, we can even see what looks like the kind of nests that Drogon made in the Dothraki Sea after his escape from the fighting pits of Meereen. And yet, instead of being a loner, he is seen here sharing his space and food with Rhaegal. This may indicate a closeness that mirrors the budding romance Drogon's rider Dany and Rhaegal's almost certain future rider and Jon are experiencing. It's interesting to note that the sex of dragons in A Song of Ice and Fire and Game of Thrones is not actually known. In the recent novel of Targaryen history by George R.R. Martin titled Fire and Blood, it's commented on that very often dragon sex was a mystery to the Targaryens and maesters alike until they laid eggs, at which point they pointed at that dragon and said, "That's a female." Other writings from Septon Barth say that dragons can maybe switch sexes, like the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, so it's not impossible that Rhaegal and Drogon may be nesting and looking for a safe spot to lay their eggs. It's assumed by many fans because of the names that these dragons are all male, but based on what we know from the books, it may be completely unclear which sex they are, and if they still are the same sex. In particular, the scene with Jon and Dany approaching the two dragons has some conspicuous holes in the field of view, and the body language of the dragons almost looks like parents guarding a nest. It may very well be that a new clutch of dragon eggs have been laid in our wing to hatch at some point this season, and Drogon and Rhaegal were showing off their accomplishment to their mother. Although hopefully if they hatch, it will be without a massive pyre and a dead king burning and a girl walking out of flames. That would probably be nice for the story. And the last thing that really stuck out from this trailer is a observation of mine, again from Twitter, that there is a heart-wrenching, beautiful reunion that's going to happen during this final season of Game of Thrones. No, I don't mean Jon or Arya or Brienne and Jaime. No, I mean the reunion of the Pieces of Ice, Ned Stark's greatsword, finally returning to Winterfell. The last time ice was in Winterfell itself was all the way back in Season 1, Episode 2, The King's Road, when Ned left Winterfell for the last time, taking his sword with him. After the execution of Ned, Tywin Lannister had the enormous Valyrian steel sword melted down into two twin blades. It's noted that nobody in the world can make more Valyrian steel, as its secrets were lost during the Doom of Valyria. However, a very small number of smiths can still melt and reshape the Valyrian steel into new forms. And that's exactly what Tywin Lannister did. He had one of the few blacksmiths in the world who actually could accomplish it, melt down ice and turn them into the two swords, Oathkeeper and Widow's Wail. Oathkeeper was initially given to Jaime Lannister by Tywin. However, Jaime instead gave it to Brienne of Tarth as a tool for finding and guarding Catelyn Stark's daughters to fulfill Jaime's vow to Catelyn, a rare moment of guilt from Jaime. And Brienne has had it ever since, using it many times in duels and fights, including those against Sandor Clegane. And based on this trailer, it appears she has returned to Winterfell with Oathkeeper. The other sword, Widow's Wail, had a slightly less appreciative and skilled owner in King Joffrey Baratheon, who used it exactly once to cut his uncle Tyrion's wedding gift of a book in half. Joffrey has always had a special gift for naming swords. Previous blades of his were named Lion's Tooth and Heart Eater. However, after Joffrey and Tommen's deaths, the sword was left without an owner. In Season 7, it was revealed that Jaime changed his mind on owning Valyrian steel and had taken to carrying around Widow's Wail. It came up most notably in Olenna Tyrell's final scene when she recognizes the blade and asks if Jaime intends to kill her like the Mad King. This season, the swords are going to be reunited at last in Winterfell, with both Jaime and Brienne arriving there. Much like the Starks themselves, the blade has been broken and mistreated, and had a long journey, and yet it's finally arriving home with its family. Ironically, reunited by Jaime Lannister, the man who started it all by shoving Bran Stark from the window of the First Keep. Ice is just a sword, but for us fans, it is more than that. Ice is Ned Stark, the memory of the Starks before they are scattered across the world when they are innocent and happy, and the good times of the opening season. And yet, there is a chance for the sword itself and the Starks to be whole again. In the show, Tywin Lannister hired a Volantine blacksmith and sailed him across the Narrow Sea just to melt down ice. However, in the books, this is done by the famed Cahoric blacksmith Tobo Mott, who lived in King's Landing. Tobo did things with steel and metal no one could match, with whispers of magic behind his craft. The best of the best in the entire Seven Kingdoms. Tobo hasn't been seen in quite some time, though. He did leave behind one apprentice. And by coincidence, that apprentice has not only met Ned Stark, he's actually in this trailer and in Winterfell. That apprentice is Gendry Waters, the bastard son of Robert Baratheon, seen hammering away at the forge in the trailer. It's possible this season that Gendry may find a way of correcting his master's mistake and reforging ice from the two swords, Widow's Wail and Oathkeeper. Logically, if the metal can be melted and recast into two separate swords, surely you could melt it and then cast it back into the shape of the Stark ancestral sword, Ice. He's also been shown as a prodigy with the hammer in his own way during his time with Tobo, the Brotherhood Without Banners, and last season when he had his own shop on the Street of Steel in King's Landing. It'd be fairly poetic if the Starks and Baratheons literally reforged their friendship after it was broken during Robert's Rebellion with the mending of the Stark sword, Gendry healing the symbolic image of the Starks with his hammer. Although this leaves a question, in what circumstances would Oathkeeper and Widow's Wail not be needed by Jaime and Brienne anymore? There's sure to be lots of fighting and death in the upcoming season, and lots of White Walkers to kill based on the trailer alone. So if we have a scenario where ice is reforged, it's likely it's because the swords have fallen from Jaime and Brienne's hands. Maybe Jaime and Brienne go down fulfilling their vows to the long-dead Lady Stark, protecting her daughters with their father's sword. There's obviously much, much more to talk about in this trailer. If you want to hear more from me, you can go check out the recent episode on Maester Monthly, where we go in-depth scene-by-scene on this trailer with my fellow moderators Bookshelf Stud, Glass Table Girl, and Fat Walda. There's also been quite a few great articles and videos made about it, including those from Kim Renfro, Joanna Robinson Gray Area, In Deep Geek, and many more. I'll add some links in the description for you all to check out. I wanted to end this by asking you, dear listener, what part of the trailer did you enjoy most? I laid out the subjects I'm most interested going into the season, but surely you have your own. Is there an arc you're beyond hyped to see, particular deaths you're dreading, battle sequences that will have you on the edge of your seat, or reveals about secret nephews? Let me know in the comments below. And as always, I want to make sure and thank my generous supporters on Patreon whose donations keep this channel and me going. You can go now and sign up and get benefits like early access to videos and audio feeds, exclusive Patreon-only episodes, have your names read out or put in the descriptions of videos, have the outlines for live streams you can follow along, and much more. Go to patreon.com/joemagician and check it out if you're interested in supporting me. And now I wanted to thank my Archmaester patrons. Brenda Beefish, Nauticast, Lady Shar, Steven Stark, June, Veronica, Johan, and of course to my latest brown wizard, Mr. Skillen. Thank you all very much, could not do this without you. You can also find my work on Watchers on the Wall, where I am a feature writer and a host on the aforementioned Maester Monthly podcast. My next videos on this channel will be a history of House Strong with Disputed Lands and my 5,000 subscriber Q&A video. So make sure you subscribe and hit the bell icon to be notified when those are posted. Thank you very much for watching.